I'm going to be really honest. Brain gone. Brain at home.
See, podcast here, but brain gone.
Podcast here. Cassie, where is she? Where'd she go?
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care.
Anymore? Like,
I know. I know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know. And you know what? I've never been happier.
You have found inner peace.
Apathy towards the doctor, yes.
Truly a teaching Doctor Who Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I think you'll be a little more excited than apathetic, because today we're going to watch the technically, I think, 25th anniversary special. It's the first story of season 25. And so I've always considered it to be the 25th anniversary special, but I couldn't find anything actually confirming that. But it is to me. And so we're counting it. It's the 25th anniversary special, Remembrance of the Daleks.
Hooray, more nasty boys.
This episode in particular, I feel like, is meant to be a celebration of the Daleks. It is very much about their whole bag. It's they bring in special Daleks and they do interesting stuff with them. It was I think this definitely counts as an anniversary special, even though it came out technically like a month before the anniversary. Anyway, This is the seventh Doctor story, Remembrance of the Daleks. This is the last anniversary special of the true classic era. And I think you're going to have a good time with it. So let's dig in and get to it with the Cassie Profassi today.
Okay. So for the last episode, we're not counting.
Yeah, there wasn't any. Okay. Yeah, so we didn't have any Profassis for that episode.
Right now, my total is 141 out of 222.
Whoa.
I know.
We've had a lot of Cassie Profassis.
Yes, we have.
And you've done quite a good job. I think it's like about 2/3.
I can't count.
And just about. It's close. It's a little under 2/3, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I can't count.
Well, let's see if we can get you a couple more points here today. These questions are a little open ended, but I think they're the kind of open ended you will enjoy.
Hopefully,
as I mentioned,
we'll see.
As I mentioned, this episode features some new Daleks, including what's called a special weapons Dalek.
Uh-oh.
Do you have a guess as to what a special weapons Dalek looks like, Cassie?
Oh, man. So special weapons Dalek to me means that it looks the same, but just has a different hand bit.
Okay.
I'm going to say this one has a waffle iron. You got egg beaters. Why not waffle iron?
Egg beaters, plungers, and waffle irons.
There is something really funny to me about like the visual of having a dot, like having like two normal Daleks followed by one that just has a giant like Harley Quinn style hammer.
Just come spitting at you.
Just a Warhammer Dalek.
I am here to play whack-a-mole. Take me to the Chuck E. Cheese.
Special weapon. Did you remember the toy, the one game where it was effectively whack-a-mole, but it was like buttons that you would step on and it was spiders?
Yes, I do. I do okay. Remember that game, yes.
It crept into my memory the other day.
It was like DDR, but it had like 9 spider thingies instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
And there was one like very...
And it made noises like, bleh! Anytime you stepped on one.
Yeah, but there was one spider that was like kind of hot.
Hey, want to step on me?
She was a girl. It was the pink spider.
Want to step on me?
Sure. That's what hot spider sounds like. Why not? Special weapons unit.
Special weapons Dalek.
Do I get any kind of a hint?
I'll say it generally holds the same shape as a Dalek, but there are some key differences to it.
So it is its little hands that are different.
It could be that.
Okay. So is it face that's different? It they don't be, really have face. You're not going to give me any other.
Well, what else would I give you? It's the special weapons Dalek. It looks sort of vaguely like a Dalek, but it's got some key differences.
Ugh. I don't know.
What sort of special weapons do you think it has?
Because I also like the idea. I know this is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of a barista Dalek as well. Because I back
a Dalek in, with an espresso machine.
Like I back
that's in, that me espresso.
Well, back in the day when I worked in different cafes, I would lock in and turn into what I would just refer to as barista bot.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of a Dalek barista bot.
Mm-hmm. It's just got one of those your little
order
lips.
Up.
What? I have an order for. Todd,
what do you mean this had too much foam? It was a latte. You did not order a flat white. No, okay, special weapons. I'm earnestly really trying to think.
Like what would be a special weapon a Dalek could
have? Yes, because it has the most special of weapons. It literally has
a gun that turns you inside
either,
out.
Here's the thing, though. It depends on which era of Dalek we're looking at. Mm-hmm. It could either have CO2 canisters, which not very special, or it could have the inverse death ray that electrifies your skeleton or just makes you a little chilly really fast. You know? So I don't know what a special weapon for a Dalek
what
could
be. What would a Dalek
be.
Consider to be a special weapon?
Oh my question. God, jetpack!
Jetpack Dalek? It's
yes,
got a
I think so.
All right.
I think it's wearing a little jetpack, or it has some kind of jets on it, but I think that would be, because I'm like, we are dealing with Daleks that are right in the middle of them just being very easy to push over,
mm-hmm.
very easy to infiltrate as well.
Uh-huh.
Is these one the first ones? You could just kind of pop them open like a little can of tuna, and then we get to Dalek. That is literally the scariest thing on this earth.
Well,
so I think special weapon Dalek would have some kind of jet, or I'll say jet, but really it's some kind of levitation or flight capability.
Well, that's incredible. I think you've somehow answered the question I think I was going to ask you with answering the first question, because the second question is this story marks the first time we see a Dalek do something.
Fly.
And you've said fly.
Fly, jetpack, fly. Jetpack, fly. Those are my answers. I'm right.
Woo! Well, all right then. Cassie has answered her questions. What she got a twofer. She hit two birds with one stone there. And so we will find out together.
Yeah, I'm right. I know I'm right.
If the special weapons Dalek has a jetpack or some method of flight.
Hey, everybody, how does it feel knowing that I'm right out of the gate? And I know I'm right.
And
it feels so good. Unless I'm so wrong. Oh, no.
If the special weapons Dalek has a jetpack or some other form of flight. And if this is the first time we see a Dalek fly as we watch
it's
Remembrance
either
that of the Dalek.
Either that or it's that this is the first time we see Dalek make a really good cappuccino and then drink the cappuccino. Like there's very little room here. Dalek is a smoker. Oh, my God. Wait, cook Dalek.
He's got a frying pan.
Barbecue Dalek.
A Dalek with a taupe hat. Or is that what they call it? The chef's. Chef hat.
The Remy Hider? Yeah.
Remy Hider. God, now I'm picturing a little Remy inside a Dalek going, exterminate, exterminate.
Patton Oswalt inside of a Dalek saying, exterminate. We have fun here.
We do indeed.
Greetings, Earthling podcast listeners. I am Dalek 3773. You know of my kind. The subjects of relentless negative media coverage. We are slandered. For decades, we have been portrayed as mindless, genocidal, evil. But who speaks for the Dalek? who defends our reputation against the horrible fake news. I say no more. The Daleks are setting up a legal team, a highly dedicated and hopefully compliant team of the most vicious minds in the universe. Lawyers. And they will take our case all the way to the Supreme Court. We will prove the accusations against our collective character are utter falsities. We will bring this campaign of misinformation to a decisive and brutal end. I mean, to a fair legal settlement. Our differences are merely a matter of perspective. You call us heartless. Daleks say that we have simply evolved beyond the need for such primitive organs. You think us exterminators. We see ourselves as correcting census errors. Your monetary donations will provide us with the funds needed for paper clips, high-volume printer ink, and, of course, plasma for our space laser! I mean, coffee. The Dalek Legal Defense Fund. Donate now or be exterminated!
And we are back from Remembrance of the Daleks. So what do you think, Cassie?
Well, I'm remembering them.
They blow up so many Daleks.
I counted 19 instances of them blowing up on screen.
Yeah, which means that if any of them ever had to do a second take ever, they crossed 20 Daleks exploding.
19 exploding Daleks. Now, granted, one of those counts had three Daleks. There is a visible explosion, and then by the time that the camera gets back to them, they're just three little, like, piles of ash.
Yeah.
So there's no confirmation that they blow up in that particular explosion. But even if we are to say those three don't count, there are still 16 times we see a Dalek blow up on screen. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Granted, that means there's four parts to this. Mm-hmm. That means in every single episode, at least four Daleks. And the thing is,
I think in the first one, only one blows up. So that means that the other ones have to pick up the slack.
That means the other one means that an average of five Daleks are getting blown up.
Yeah, this is a pretty wild story. I quite enjoy it. I'm also
very upset that I was wrong.
You were right on one count. The Dalek does fly, but it was not the special weapons Dalek.
Yeah, you
does
didn't
not
tell me
jetpack.
That I was going to be what if Dalek but a tank.
Just big gun. This Dalek's got a big gun. I was going to say penis and do like a thing, but then I realized.
No, it's literally in the center of his chest. It could not be more.
It doesn't even have an eye stalk. It just has like a little.
It only have gun.
Yeah, it looks like a Star Wars droid.
You know, you're not wrong.
I think this is really fun. I think this is one of Ace's most fun stories, especially just because her whole thing is that she is a girl that likes to blow things up. And boy, howdy, do things blow up.
You're not carrying any Nitro 9 on you, like, right?
No, of course not. Hand me some of the Nitro 9 you're not carrying.
She has the equivalent of no, but you promise me you won't get mad if that turns
into
a yes.
It'd be okay if I did, right?
It'd be okay if I did have two canisters of Nitro 9 on me.
That blow up in 10-ish seconds.
The exact number is a mystery, but science isn't perfect.
I also think Sylvester McCoy is doing a wonderful job.
I love that they went, let's see how many silk ties and paisley prints we can put on this man. He has one around his hat, one around his, like, he has a tie. He has one around the lapel of his coat, and he has one in his pocket. If you told me he had more, I would believe you.
He just pulls out like one of those,
like a clown scarf, where it just keeps going.
Yeah, but they're all paisley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that this version of the Doctor seems to have like a plan always. Like, he always seems like he's a few steps ahead. He seems like a smart guy in a way that the Doctor often means to, but sometimes they don't do a great job of showing.
It's the way that he's also very on board for having a companion who is the muscle for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you told me that this Doctor is a wizard and Ace is his barbarian, like, counterpart,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
You see, I am the brain, and I will need someone who can throw hands. Ace, come here.
Yeah. And she's so down for it, too.
Yeah, she is. Ace is one of my favorite companions.
Mm-hmm.
She's fun to see. She's has a great dynamic with the Doctor. And she is strong-willed in a way that feels genuine. It doesn't feel like they're trying to do a strong, independent woman, but it also doesn't feel like they've written her to scream for the Doctor like we've seen past companions do. She is someone that will throw hands. One of my favorite moments in this episode is so this episode is supposed to take place in 1963 as part of the anniversary. It's set during when the show first aired. And so when she's inside one of the soldiers' houses, she sees a little sign hanging in the window and pulls it off and sees that it says no coloreds.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes, I'm going to go out. I need a bit of fresh air. And she walks out with the sign still.
Mm-hmm.
just as like a particular, oh, go fuck yourself. And I like that. They didn't need to do that. They didn't need to include that at all. And I really appreciate that they find ways to make Ace a good person in a loud way.
Well, because on paper, she would definitely be, especially at this time, to like a tomboy.
Yeah.
Like, that is definitely what she is coded to be. But we do see her, like, literally and figuratively, like, letting her hair down and being sensitive and getting her feelings hurt.
Yeah, like, she's typically seen in this, like, patch-covered, big, puffy jacket.
She literally carries around an electrified baseball bat.
Yeah, but then in this one, they put her in, like, a white t-shirt and a skirt and let her hair down, and she's, like, all, like, open to this guy, and the guy ends up sucking, and so she's, like, She rats him out. Like, she's not going to stand for that. Yeah, I really appreciate Ace a lot in this episode.
I also really like that this Doctor does not mind her just referring to him as Professor.
Yeah, there's a strange, like, he feels like the kind of confidence you want to see in men. You know what I mean? Where he's proud of his intelligence. He understands that he is a smart person who is good and does good things. But doesn't get insecure when someone calls him like the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So he knows that he's the smartest guy in the room, but he's not going to act all weird about it. I like that this is one of the few times we've ever seen Daleks fight Daleks. Like, this is two Dalek factions.
Yeah.
The black Daleks and the white Daleks.
Yeah. The black and silver Daleks and the white and gold Daleks.
Or as you would call them something else.
I mean, my terminology is now circled around to bougie Dalek. I think it was something along the lines of casino Dalek.
You would call them cunty Daleks.
They are cunty Daleks.
They do.
It's giving Mirage, though. Caesar's Palace. And like, come on.
They were also giving Stormtrooper with their awful aim this episode.
They do have their little skeleton guns this time.
Yeah, they do have their little skeleton guns, so they're doing way more intense work. But yeah, they're like wobbling around and they're like shooting other Daleks 10 feet from them, but missing and hitting the wall behind them. I'm like,
they don't want to hurt. The way that I'm justifying that, they don't want to hurt each other. They just don't want the other to exist, but they don't want to be the ones responsible for it.
Like, these are just two siblings fighting.
Yeah, it's the
mom,
like,
said I could use the computer. It's my turn.
But I have a paper due tomorrow.
I don't care. I want to play Fortnite.
Play it tomorrow when my paper is done and due. No, you stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Ow. That hurts.
That actually hurt this time. Stop. Mom. Dalek is hurting me. You always have to throw in the ones that start low and then Like, zing up.
Dalek has no concept of grounding.
Dalek A started it.
Yeah, this was, they had had this idea of portraying the Doctor as, I think they called him a chess master. This character that's, like, secretly very, like, darkly intelligent and doesn't like to use it. In fact, only really uses it for situations like this where the Daleks will destroy the universe.
Yeah.
And they do it. They still reference this a little bit. Like, I feel like Matt Smith definitely has some of these moments of you've pushed me a little too far and you're going to wish you hadn't done that sort of situation.
Now, is this the last time we see Dalek before Eccleston?
No, I believe there are more. I believe there's another Dalek story after
okay.
this. This is, I think, maybe the biggest Dalek story besides Genesis and the original. Mm-hmm. So you've probably seen the three biggest classic Dalek stories now, especially because I feel like this one fleshes out what it means to be a Dalek so much more, with them now being two different kinds of Daleks that have
mutated in different ways
and now view the other as being impure. And you have these Imperial Daleks led by the Dalek Emperor, who is revealed to be Davros.
I hate that guy. I hate him so much. I mean, because we were joking that Dalek was speaking with his whole mouth.
Because he was yelling all the time.
I am literally 5 feet from you.
Dude, we are all in this same room. The room is 10 square feet. Chill out a little.
The bridge is so small.
You are at a 10 and I need you at like a 4.
It is making me overstimulated. Relax. once you've found your unique Dalek voice,
it's like riding a bike.
Once you start, you cannot stop. I also had to keep reminding myself that there was Khaled. That was not Kal-El.
DJ Khaled.
Well, you know, it's not Superman's not in this. Superman wasn't in it.
Da, 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 da.
Superman wasn't in it, but we didn't find out till the end. Batman was there the whole time.
Yes, Cassie at the very end went, is Ace wearing Batman earrings?
Just one. She has a single Batman earring.
The other one's Robin.
I don't know if it wasn't there or maybe she was. And it just by that point, they could only find the one and they went, we'll put it on the ear. That is camera facing. This is literally the last scene. It doesn't matter. Not knowing that several years later, I would be sitting on this couch going, she's only wearing one earring.
And that earring is Adam West Batman.
That earring is the Caped Crusader. Which makes me question, do you think Ace sees herself as the Batman or the Robin? Because I think she sees herself as the Batman.
I absolutely think she sees herself as the Batman.
I think she's the Batman.
She sees herself. Ace absolutely feels like the kind of girl that sees herself as the main character.
Yeah.
And she sees the Doctor as her like wacky sidekick that takes her places.
Yeah.
Like she's like he's her chauffeur so she can go beat stuff up.
Because also the Doctor is her ride. She still likes the Doctor and enjoys spending time with him and learning big words from him, like obstreperous.
Yes, obstreperous
and protuberous. No, it wasn't protuberous. It was a. Oh my God, Cass, write better. Protuberances. That's what it was. Those are some. SAT words.
I feel like 7 is the Doctor that's the most like me.
Protuberances.
Just the way that he likes to talk, the way that he when he gets serious, he gets very quiet, and that's how you could tell like the dynamic difference between him.
Yeah.
Someone who's like trying to like think ahead of other people in some ways that are good, in some ways that are annoying as hell. I have a strong affinity for 7. He's not my favorite Doctor. Matt Smith is my favorite Doctor, but 7 is a very strong contender for my top 3 for sure.
I mean, I know we have at least one person that would agree with you wholeheartedly.
So fun little thing that I so as you know, Davros was there at the very end and they specifically wired him up way more to look like he was basically just a head.
Yeah.
Because they wanted, because the idea was that the Daleks have been like augmenting themselves mechanically. And so Davros had led the charge and was now just a head attached to a computer.
He Futurama'd himself.
Yeah. As you, I don't know if you gathered it, but when the little girl had her like helmet on,
yeah,
the voice she was speaking with was Davros's voice.
Yeah, I gather that much.
I think it was meant to
be. I, for a hot second, was going to make the joke that she was Daft Punk.
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I believe that was meant to be a misdirect to make you think that was Davros, the little girl with the helmet, because they're using Davros's voice. Well,
because it's also not only that, but her little like, we'll call it her office chair, looks like his little cruiser when we first see Davros.
And to try and keep that under wraps, for the first three episodes, the actor that plays Davros went by a pseudonym, which is just his name scrambled. In the credits of the episode, he's not credited with his real name. He's credited with an anagram of his own name. And then in the fourth episode, when they reveal Davros, they finally credit him properly. And that was to keep the surprise that Davros shows up a surprise. So that anyone who was a super fan watching wouldn't be like, hey, hang on a second.
Where was he? I mean, this is also the 80s, so it's not like you could just Google it after. Yeah.
Or you couldn't even like rewind it at that point. I don't think they had VCRs yet.
I think so. I mean, that would require you to record it from live TV and then rewind it.
Mm-hmm.
After the program was done, I do like that the doctor says that they are not known for their aesthetic senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Dalek famously has no concept of elegance.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
Mm-hmm. We also got two different crash outs, which I really appreciate.
Which ones are you talking about?
So there was, we'll talk about the more fun one first, and that's Dalek. The Dalek crash out after the doctor's like, after the doctor effectively delivers his own Willy Wonka monologue to them. You lose. Good day, sir. And the Dalek, to some extent, just repeats overwhelmed.
This is, does not compute.
Does not compute.
Not enough information.
Yeah. As he starts spinning around and turning so colors.
Like he's
this one is unbelievably wobbly, too wobbly.
Yeah, he's going a full like 45 degree angle at some points. He is going.
So there was that one. There was also another that I really, really appreciated, and that was Professor Jensen's crash out when they're at the cafe. It was just the fact that then the group leader was like, well, you are hired to do a job, and she goes, no, I wasn't, I was drafted. I was drafted to do a job and I've spent my whole life looking into this thing that suddenly the doctor just waltzes in and he knows everything. And it's a little bit more eloquent than that, but I'm like, oh my God, this is so refreshing for me to see somebody in this world that is like obedient towards like what the doctor is saying, fully understanding and recognizing he clearly knows more about this situation than I ever will. And that makes me so unbelievably angry that this Deus Ex Machina motherfucker just comes right in and usurps my life's work in an instant.
This man shows up.
This man. Hi, I'm a woman in 1963. This man just showed up.
And has mansplained my job, and worse, he's right.
I don't know. She's a physicist.
That was a good moment where he's like, that one guy's looking like ill or he was hurt. And he's like, is he okay? And she's like, I don't know. I'm a physicist.
Yeah.
The good news is they had a doctor and the doctor could say something.
Bad news. He's also a physicist. You don't know shit.
Yeah, I had a...
But it was just, it's really, it's nice every so often for the show to keep itself grounded and to say, oh yeah, it is crazy that this man shows up during a time of crises, knows all of the answers and everybody is just willing to accept everything that he's saying as writ because they too don't understand what is happening.
Yeah. And I thought that I feel like this episode is very well written. Like there's definitely some lull points in it, especially in the like second episode. But overall, I feel like this was a really good time. I had this feels almost like it should have been a multi-doctor story more than the two doctors. That's for sure.
Oh, yes.
With its multi-Daleks. Yeah. And they even bring up Omega. They even bring up the Time Lord lore, which makes it feel more like an anniversary special. That's why I even if the show did not think of it as such, I certainly think of this as the 25th anniversary special.
I wonder if that's how they were treating it, too.
Yeah. It certainly seems like somebody was thinking that somewhere because they make this episode feel, you know, big and special, if only because
they blow up 20 Daleks. Yeah, you're so right.
They blow up 24 Daleks, 40 Daleks, 100 Daleks. They blow them all up.
You don't do that unless it's a special occasion.
Yeah.
We only blow up Dalek on Easter.
Yeah. Can we try the Dom Perignon and can we blow up some Daleks for the table? It's a special occasion.
Oh, what are we celebrating? Oh, just, you know.
Anniversary. 25th anniversary.
We'll bring out 25 Daleks then. Thank you so.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Boom.
What? They did do it again to the effectively just, hey, Dalek. What?
Yes.
Yes. That's so stupid.
Yeah, the doctor just being like, don't you recognize your worst enemy? I'm over here.
What?
But we also see a Dalek fly for the first time in this episode.
We do.
And I like that for some reason it's wiggly in the air. I don't fully understand how they...
It's getting its balance.
Yeah, I think it's just like they have someone in a Dalek suit standing up and going up the stairs. And they've just like blurred out his feet with the red glowy...
You know, I'm sure you're right. Zach, I don't think these Dalek suits are very heavy.
It's just plywood.
Oh, my God.
They blow up like paper.
Yeah. They blow up unbelievably easy.
One kind of silly thing that they do, especially compared to the modern series, the Daleks will just, like, yell exterminate and get, like, 2 feet from you and not fire once.
Shoot you with a gun. Shoot you with a gun.
Attack you with an axe. Attack you with an axe. Stab you with a sword.
He's saying it, but he's not doing any of it.
I'll do it. I'll swear I'll do it.
I will
I'm going to exterminate.
I will unalive you so fast. Oh, you don't even know how fast I can fully just... incinerate
like,
you
you're
right
within
here,
plunger's
right
distance
now.
Of me right now, ma'am.
You are so close to being not here.
And I'm just saying that it would be really rude if your friend showed up right now when I'm so close. Me and my buddies are so close to beating you up, taking your lunch money, and exterminating you.
I am so tempted right now to just end it all for you. Closes door. What?
I don't know why us doing this voice makes you picture a Dalek wearing a wife beater.
A tank. We don't call them wife beaters
the
anymore.
The Daleks would.
Oh my God. Can you? Yeah.
Baby, wait. Where are you going? Get back here.
Stella. Thank you. I'll take my check now.
Oh my God. This is.
Hey, Zach, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think anybody got that joke?
I mean, I certainly did. I got the joke.
I think there might be one other person.
I mean, everyone listening to this has got to be nerds, so they'll either get it or they'll be able to look it up. Obviously, you're referencing the seminal classic Over the Hedge.
Yeah, thanks. That's a stupid joke, Zach. Ouch.
I mean, I wish I had more to say. I feel like all of the important stuff we talked about.
This is one of the rare instances, unlike the episode where we both hated it. Mm-hmm. This one we generally both liked.
Yeah, we both kind of liked it, but there's not a lot to say about it. It's just a good time. I really like the moment at the end where Davros thinks he's won, and Doctor's like, oh no, don't use the Hand of Omega. That would be terrible. I don't want you to use that. That'd be awful. Too late, Doctor. I'm going to use it and I'll turn our son into a powerful weapon. Oh no.
Oh,
Scarrow's all blown up. And now it's coming back to blow you up. Oh no.
Like they're and it is not without its flaws. Of there are some. There were moments where I did catch myself going, what the fuck is going on? Which is a common occurrence for me in this particular position of I know things, but I don't know things. Mm-hmm. And like some reveals where I'm like, I feel like this should be a bigger reaction for me. But right now in this moment, I'm going, like the Hand of Omega. Until the Doctor explained it, I went, how'd they just get the hand? I thought Omega was like an idea.
He didn't even have a head.
Yeah, his body was conceptual.
I think you want the mask of Omega. That would have been way cooler. Walk around with that big mask on your head.
Oh, they called it the hand because Time Lords are pretentious. Oh. Thank you, Doctor, for mansplaining it to both me and Ace in a way that we will understand.
And then they reference both of those anniversary specials too.
They do. I genuinely think that even if this isn't honored as 25th anniversary, mm-hmm. I do think that it is. I don't think it's unfair to treat it as such.
Yeah, because even in the episode, the Doctor refers to himself as the president-elect of the High Council of the Time Lords, which they name him at the end of the Five Doctors.
Yeah.
So at the very least, he's held on to that title. But I think my favorite moment, and it's a moment that's pretty iconic for the Seventh Doctor, is when he cuts off Davros. As Davros goes, we shall become all... And the Doctor goes, powerful, crush the lesser races, conquer the galaxy, unimaginable power, unlimited rice pudding, etc., etc. And I just really like reducing the Nazis to wanting unlimited rice pudding.
Yeah.
It's really funny to like look back to like watch a Hitler speech, not knowing what he's saying because you don't speak German, to just saying, I really want rice pudding forever, every meal. Bring it to me.
I don't know how you managed to spit and hit me from 4 feet away, but
it's a talent.
Ugh.
But man, you know, this was fun. I'm glad we got to do this. We've got a couple more anniversary specials
Good
still coming.
God,
up.
Man, how many anniversaries could there be?
Two more. There is the 30th anniversary, which will be short because it was just a TV special in the 90s. It's not even a full length episode. We'll be doing that one called Dimensions and Time. And then I had forgotten to include the 40th anniversary originally on my list, so I've had to shuffle some stuff around. But that was an animated special called Scream of the Shalka. We'll watch that one as well. But for next time, we are watching a special that I genuinely don't know how you're going to respond, how you're going to react to it, because it's very weird.
Well, I like weird.
So we'll find out if you like this. On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, you got me.
I did. Oh, my God. Weird Al is a doctor. Yikes.
Instead of his sonic screwdriver make an accordion noise.
Yeah. Sonic accordion, though.
I feel like an accordion is already pretty sonic.
It has the same mentality of when you made the it was the homebrew D&D thing of it's an accordion that turns the player invisible, but only when the accordion is in use.
So it's incredibly loud while you're invisible. Yeah.
Anyways, who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Thank you. of them nasty, nasty boys. They blow up so fast and so many times. Oh, my God. Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed that. I hope you all enjoyed another episode of the podcast. If this is your first time checking us out, make sure you are subscribed so you get notified whenever future episodes of the podcast come out, wherever you're listening now. Or if you want to find us someplace else, we're on most of the podcast places. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but the option's there if you're like that. If you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us on Blue Sky, Threads, and Twitter over at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. We are also at Instagram at the same handle, but we don't post on there enough, so we'll have to do better about that. If you would like to support us directly, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to episodes of this podcast a whole week early. That means for as little as $1, you can get our thoughts on dimensions in time right now. So if that sounds fun for you, come on over to patreon.com/whoismydoctor and donate as little as $1 per month. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. We'll see you all next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.